The Catholic Church in the United States has been in decline for more than 50 years, but that decline has actually accelerated at numerous points over those past 50 years. We're going to look at what's happened, why it's happened, and what we can do to try to reverse the trend. That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, just want to encourage people to like, smash that like button, whatever I'm supposed to say there, subscribe to the channel. But don't hit the little notify bell because you have a life outside of the internet, I hope. Also, you can follow us on the internet if you are on there at Crisis Mag, at Twitter, Facebook, MeWe, Gitter, Gab, all those different locations. Before I get started, too, I want to mention one more thing is I have a new book out from Sophia Institute Press called Who Do You Say I Am? Unlocking the 24 Titles Given to Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm real excited about this. You can find it at my website, ericsammons.com, or you can find it at Sophia Institute's website, Sophia Press. Is it sophiapress.com? Sophiainstitutepress.com. I really should know that, but I don't remember it right now. It's sophiainstitute.com. That's what it is. Anyway, I go through the Gospel of Matthew and really do a deep dive into the identity of Jesus Christ there. And I think it's a good book for Lectio Divina, for meditating upon the sacred scriptures, and Lent is coming up. You could potentially do it then. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So I'm going to be talking about the decline in the Catholic Church in the United States. Now, I have addressed this topic in the past in articles at Crisis Magazine, at 1 Peter 5, at my personal website. Also, I've addressed this on the podcast before. Why do I keep bringing this up? Why do I keep coming back to this topic? It's not because I'm just Captain Negative that just wants to talk about bad things going in the church. I don't think that's a healthy thing to do, and so I don't want to do that myself. At the same time, I feel like there is a strong status quo bias within the Catholic Church that really has no good foundations. What do I mean by that? I worked in a diocese for 5 years. I worked at the parish level for many years before that. And what I saw was that most people inside the church, working for the church, what I mean by that are bishops, priests, lay people who are working at the chancery or at parishes, they had this status quo bias. And I'm talking, by the way, about the good ones. I'm not talking about the people who are trying to undermine the church or anything like that. But they have a status quo bias, meaning they see how we do things in the church, and they want to just continue doing them that way because that's how we do things. So, for example, we have men's conferences. We have women's conferences. We invite these types of speakers, but we don't invite those type of speakers. We do these activities at the parish, but we don't do these type of activities. Why? Because that's just how we do things. But in my opinion, that whole system needs to be obliterated. And the reason for that is because we're in the midst of a huge decline in the Catholic Church here in America. And so why would we keep doing things the way we're doing them? I know the analogy has been used before, but I hearken back to the analogy of just simply if you compare it to a company. If a company's selling a product and nobody's buying it, you don't just keep running the company the exact same way. You look at your audience, you look at your product, you look at everything you do. Anything you do currently, you think, okay, I need to be humble, and I need to look and see how we're doing things and be open to changing them. That's not to say everything we do in the Catholic Church today is wrong and done poorly and drives people away. But at the same time, we should look at literally everything and say, is this really how we should do things? And so we have to stop doing failed programs, stop doing the exact same thing we've always done. So this isn't a matter of me just wanting to be negative, me just wanting to trash the Catholic Church or anything like that. It's simply me saying that we've got a problem, and until we open our eyes to it, until frankly the bishops, priests, and people working for the church open their eyes to it, we're not going to slow down this decline. I also bring this up because recently somebody close to me, I found, who doesn't live in the area, so I don't see him super often, but I suspected he had left the Catholic Church. And recently I was able to find out that, yes, he had left the Catholic Church. And I knew that for a long time he had been a practicing Catholic on some levels. I mean, he went to Mass regularly. I don't know if how often he went to confession, but he went to Mass regularly, and he claimed to be a Catholic. But basically, what I found out was before COVID, in the years before COVID, he had gotten increasingly estranged from the Catholic Church. He started to realize that he didn't really believe what the Catholic Church teaches. And in fact, he would even get angry sometimes after Mass at the homily, because it would say things about our culture, maybe about society, that he was very upset about. And actually, kudos to the priest who was preaching the truth, because it is mostly things like about homosexuality and the culture wars, abortion, things like that. And he no longer really accepted the Catholic teaching on that. And he got more and more estranged from the church, but he kept going to Mass each week. And then COVID hit. And so he didn't go to Mass, obviously, for a couple months, because there were no Masses, public Masses, because of the lockdowns. And by the end of that lockdowns, when they said, okay, everybody, you can come back now, he realized, why? Why should I come back now? I didn't like going before. I don't really think I'm Catholic anymore. So he didn't go back. And I tell this story because when I show these statistics, when I show these numbers, we have to recognize every single number represents a real soul. So when I show that almost 5 million people stop going to Mass after COVID, that is 5 million individual souls that are no longer receiving the graces of the sacrament, no longer connected to the Catholic Church in any meaningful way. And so this is something that, I mean, I just don't know how we can't take as seriously as possible. It's the most important thing in the world that people are leaving the Catholic Church. And so, yes, I have brought it up before, and I will continue to bring it up because I just think it's that important. So let me start looking at some of these statistics first, and then we're going to dive into them a little bit. The first one is, I'm going to pull this up on the screen. So those who are listening, you're not going to be able to see it, but I will try to describe it so that you can understand it. But maybe I'd encourage you on this one to maybe consider watching the video on YouTube or Odyssey or Rumble, just so you can see the numbers. But what I did was, most of these numbers, by the way, come from the CARA, the Center for Apostolic a Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate, I believe it's out of Georgetown, and they have good numbers that I think are the best numbers we have. And so what we see here is this is a chart of U.S. Catholics who attend Mass weekly, and this is survey-based. Basically, they're saying they're doing this. All these surveys are never perfect. I mean, you get them as close as you can. But essentially, in 1970, almost 30 million U.S. Catholics attended Mass weekly. By 2021, the number was, let me see actually what the exact number was. I think I have it here. Was under 13 million. So 12,600,000, essentially. So we went from almost 30 million to under 13 million in the course of 50 years. And then I'll pull up this chart as well. This is the change every 5 years in the number of weekly Mass attending Catholics. Although it's interesting because you see a huge drop in 1975. So from 1970 to 75, a huge drop, a little bit of an increase until 1990, then another drop, increase in 2000 before basically 95 and 2000. Perhaps that's the JP2 effect. I know that during that time, there's a lot of positivity within the Catholic Church in America, a lot of converts coming into the church. I mean, I think it was like 150,000 people coming to the church. And then since 2000, though, we see a huge drop. And particularly, we see another big drop in 2021, which is, I think we all would know, is probably the effects of COVID. So what we see, though, let me go back to the first chart. Basically, though, what I think is very interesting is we see a few dramatic declines here. Obviously, from 1970, 1975. We see it from 2000 going down to 2015. And again, 2015 to 2021, really, I would guess that most of the drop in the last 6 years really is in the last couple of years, because it was after COVID, because it wasn't as dramatic between 2015 and 2020 as it was between 2020 and 2021. And we also see this reflected in a chart I've brought up before, and this is infant baptisms. I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. I personally think this is one of the best indicators of the health of the Catholic Church is infant baptisms, because infant baptism represents a number of different factors. And that is, number one, how many kids are Catholics having? Because if Catholics aren't propagating the species, aren't procreating, if they're only having 1.2 kids instead of maybe 4.2, that's an indication of health. Now, obviously, this is an average. So it's not like everybody can have that many kids. But at the same time, on average, are Catholic families having more kids than the typical American family? It also reflects how important Catholicism is to a young couple. Because what we found is, and a lot of surveys have shown this, that people, when they start, often Catholics leave practicing their faith after high school, but they return to it when they start having kids. Or they have a, even if they don't leave completely, they don't regularly attend. Then they start attending again when they start having kids. They realize, okay, this is something I do want to pass on to my kids. Well, if infant baptisms are going down, that means they're not even coming back when they have kids, which tells me that they've really left. I mean, that's a very definitive thing. Because a lot of Catholics, at least in the past, they wouldn't necessarily practice, but they still have their kids baptized. And so if they're not having their kids baptized, they're gone. They're completely gone, and they should be treated as somebody who needs to be completely evangelized from scratch. And we see this, these numbers here in 1970 to 1975, we see a huge drop again on the screen. You can tell it goes from, let me pull up the numbers here. I have them here somewhere. Here they are. It goes from over a million baptisms, almost 1.1 million, to under 900,000 in the course of 5 years. That's a huge drop. Because remember, the population in America is increasing at this time. And so, you know, the fact that we have that represents 7 million less baptisms. Almost 200,000 less baptisms during that time. And yet the Catholic population during that time increased. So people who self-identify as Catholics increased by 500,000, but there were actually 200,000 less baptisms, which tells us a lot of it probably was immigration, more than likely, that caused the bump in the number of Catholics. But yet, people just stopped. They might have self-identified Catholic, but they weren't having their kids baptized. We see another big drop starting in 2000. From 2000 to 2010, we go from almost a million baptisms, actually a little bit up from 1975, to under almost only about 800,000 10 years later. And then now we see a huge decline again over the last 6 years. Again, I think a lot of it's over the last two or three years. Actually, we're now at only about 400,000 baptisms a year. In 2021, there were 411,000 infant baptisms in the United States. Compare that to 1970, in which there were over a million. So we've dropped more than, I mean, we're getting close to dropping 60, 70% over that time. I mean, it's dramatic. But the thing that I want to bring up is that I feel like there are three major times in which we see dramatic drops in this overall decline. The first one happens after 1970. From 1970 to 1975, we see a big drop in infant baptisms, weekly attending mass goers, all these different numbers. And I think there's obviously a lot of factors in these numbers. And I don't want to act like there's ever one thing that causes these things to happen, because that's not the case. People are complex. Everybody does things for different reasons. I do believe that. However, it is hard not to bring up what happened in 1970. And that is the radical changes to the Mass. If we really believe the Mass is the source and summit of our faith, if it's the main contact point that people have with the Catholic Church, which it is, remember, that's how most people connect to the Catholic Church, is in the Mass, going to Mass. If that radically changes, you have to see that there's going to be a difference. In fact, that's why they changed it, because they believed, they meaning the Vatican and different church officials, believed it would cause a great increase. So if they believe that radically changing the Mass, how it's celebrated, will be a huge increase in the in Mass attendance. And it actually, what followed was a huge decrease in Mass attendance. You can't say oh, it would, if it was an increase, it was because we changed the mask. But if it's a decrease, it's all these other factors. Clearly, that is a major factor in why a lot of people stop going to mass. And I think it's not just a matter of changing the mass. It's the fact that the mass, which was this oasis of stability for centuries, all of a sudden became the plaything of individual priests. You didn't know what you were getting when you went to mass. And this started in 1965, really, right after the council. You start seeing this, but really after 1970, it goes in even more so. And so you didn't know what you were getting when you went to mass. Was it going to be a mass where the priest is going to be reverent and really kind of stick to the rubrics? Was he going to freestyle the Eucharistic prayer? Were you going to have, I mean, what was the music going to be like? You just didn't know. And so I think if that's the case, you have to acknowledge that at least one major factor, not the sole factor, maybe not the number one factor, because so much was going on in the culture, but I would say it had to be one of the major factors for the big decline after 1970 was the changes in the mass. Now, the second major acceleration of the decline, remember, we've been in decline basically the whole time, because even this time between 1975 and 2000, where there's actually an increase in infant baptisms, remember, the actual number of people in the United States increased dramatically during that time. And even an increase in the number of Catholics. In 1975, there were 54 million Catholics in America. In 2000, there were 71 million. So that's a huge increase in the number of self-identified Catholics. And we see almost no change in the number of baptisms each year. But what we see then is starting in the year 2000, remember, these are five-year surveys. So when I say in 2000, I mean between 2000 and 2005 was the first big dramatic drop. The second big dramatic drop, I apologize. Between 70, 75 was the first one. Between 2000, 2005, and continuing after that was the second one. Now, what is the cause of that one? I think there's a lot of factors in this one. And I think this is the harder one to really pinpoint. I mean, 1970, we had the massive changes in the Catholic Church in so many levels, the mass and everything, how the faith was taught. We had a rejection of Humana Vitae by so many priests. You know, all these things were happening. In 2000, it's not quite as clear-cut. I think, obviously, the one most people are going to think of first is the revelations of the sexual abuse crisis in the church that came out in 2002. And I would say that definitely that is a factor in the accelerated decline after 2000. Now, I will say I have seen surveys that show, and I've done my own where I've talked to people, and when people explain the reasons why they left the Catholic Church, very few actually mention the abuse crisis, which might surprise people. Very few actually mention the abuse crisis or why they left. I do think, obviously, the abuse crisis led to a decline in trust in the institution of the church, and so it separated people, weakened their attachments to the Catholic Church. So like I said, that clearly was a factor. What's interesting is somebody in the comments, Jesse, actually brought up something I was going to bring up as well. And I'm going to pull it up here. It says, high-speed internet is largely to blame, in my opinion, then cell phones. I think Jesse's onto something here. This is something I've brought up before as well. I think if you look at what was going on in the late 90s and early 2000s, particularly early 2000s, you see a massive increase in the number of people who are on the internet all the time. Of course, really the rise of the cell phone happened after the introduction of the iPhone in 2007, 2008. But what you see is people started really finding their community online. They didn't feel like they had to find a community locally at their local parish. Because we have to remember, people don't just become go to their parish just because they believe it's true. I know most of the people watching this, listening to this, might be their main reason. For a lot of people, though, that community aspect is a major factor in why they keep going to mass. Well, if they get their community needs from from online communities, that's a huge part of it, too. Plus, you just have a lot of voices on the internet that are against the Catholic Church. I mean, my goodness, the majority of them are. I mean, the internet is great in that it gives you ability to find out a lot about the Catholic Church. I mean, obviously, I'm broadcasting this on the internet right now. Crisis is solely on the internet. There's a lot of good stuff on the internet. That being said, I really do think that the culture really changed in a lot of ways with the rise of the internet. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's a major factor in the accelerated decline in 2000. And so I think that's something we have to consider as well. Now, the final decline, acceleration of the decline in a 55 decades of decline happened obviously just recently. And you don't quite see it on here because I only have the numbers from 2015, 2021. But if you look at them, you'll see very clearly that the COVID lockdowns, the COVID response, the COVID, the pandemic, all of that has caused a massive decline again. And again, I mentioned my close friend, and he just stopped going after the lockdowns. And I don't see how we can't recognize that every single bishop shutting down masses, shutting down parishes for a few months wouldn't have a dramatic effect on church attendance. I mean, I don't know how they couldn't see that before they did it. The idea that everybody be like, oh, okay, we'll just shut down for a couple months and then we'll come back. We're ready. We're just sitting at the edge of our seat, ready to come back. Well, okay, that's true for Catholics who take their faith very seriously. I mean, they wouldn't have liked being shut down, but they are ready to come back at the first moment they can. But all the people you see at Mass, at your typical diocesan parish, they have different levels of attachment to the Catholic Church. And so if you weaken that attachment, which you will do by saying, don't come to Mass for 2 months, even if you do your nice little cool online streaming, that's not the same thing. Because if they're on the internet, they can go a lot of other places for a lot more than just, you know, watching your poorly, you know, sung Mass and whatever it is you're doing. And so because of that, if you have people at your typical Mass, of which some are truly dedicated, they're dying before they reject the Catholic faith, all the way down to the people who are like, I'm not really happy with the Catholic Church, but I feel like I should go every week. Well, don't you think that's going to just basically eliminate that bottom level? Now, some would argue, and I think there's the valid point here, that needed to happen anyway, because what needed to happen was we needed to really reveal the reality underneath the numbers we did have. Because I think most of us who have been involved in this for a while knew even the bad numbers we had weren't as bad as the reality underneath it. We knew a lot of people at Mass attending Catholics don't believe what the church teaches. We saw that with the Pew study that showed that 70% of self-identified Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So the fact that all of a sudden they stop coming might be a healthy thing in one matter. I mean, it's almost like a pruning, and I don't want, like I said, these are real souls, and so we should care about them. But maybe them making that decision, I'm going to leave the Catholic Church, will clarify things. I don't know. I've never been one that's been happy when people leave the Catholic Church for whatever reason. But at the same time, I get that. So what we see then is another acceleration of the decline. The third one over the past 50 years is COVID. I mean, no question, the lockdowns, and not just COVID, the lockdowns, but after COVID, what happened? That so many parishes went full totalitarian Nazi on the mass mandates, even the vaccine mandates at some points. And so I think what we see is that this is another big decline. People stop going to Catholic, going to Mass again. So we have three big declines over the past 50 years. Now, one thing Anthony asked, and I think it's a good question because I actually have a little bit of information on this. He said, do we have any info on how much donations have dropped? And I think this is interesting because I just recently talked to somebody who's involved at a diocesan level. Now, this is anecdotal. This is one example from one diocese. They found that church attendance has dropped, but donations have not. And I think that actually makes sense if you think about it, because who decided to leave? I'm talking about after COVID. So yes, people have not come back after COVID, a lot of them, but donations have stayed steady. I think it's because, like I said, this range of people who go to Mass, the truly dedicated, who as soon as the lockdowns were, they were coming back, to the people who were only weekly attached and they stopped coming. Well, do you really think the weekly attached were given much money anyway? It's the dedicated people who are given a lot of money anyway. So that's one anecdotal bit of information. It wouldn't surprise me if overall that donations have gone down just because less people are going. But, you know, I could see the fact that, it might not be as dramatic as the number of people who stopped going. Because I think the main people we lost from COVID were the people who were only weakly attached to the Catholic Church to begin with. Okay, so what are the, so we see all this, you know, 50 years of decline, three major accelerations of that decline. Like I said before, I don't think one factor. I don't think there's one factor. Therefore, I don't think there's one thing we can do to make it all better. I think that that ship has sailed. Maybe if we had done things differently from the 19th, after the council, things might have happened a lot better. I don't know. I think it would have been better than how we did things. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of factors that have caused this. So, I mean, a few I just wrote down, just as, and this is just we're off the top of my head. There could be others. There's the loss of Catholic identity. There's the surrounding culture that's become more and more anti-Catholic. There's the unserious liturgy, the way that we celebrate the liturgy in unserious fashion in so many places. There's the church's capitulation to the culture on so many issues. There's the abuse crisis, obviously. There's the general attacks on religion that we see around us. There's the rise of the internet. There is, and cell phones and our obsession with them. There's the fractured world we live in, that we don't live in close communities anymore, but we all live in isolated homes that are fractured from the rest of the world. There are drugs, more people using doing drugs, obviously the hard drugs, the cocaine or crack, things like that, but also the rise of a lot more people smoking marijuana. There's other ways that we have what I call the dopamine hits. I mentioned, you know, obviously the cell phones, the drugs, but just different ways we get dopamine hits, social media that kind of mask our underlying dissatisfaction with the world. And so make it that we don't realize how much we need Jesus because we're covering it up with these dopamine hits. Those are just a few of the things I thought of. Now, one change in the Catholic Church, for example, like I saw somebody on Twitter say, oh, if we just go back to the traditional Latin Mass, you know, it'll radically change. I don't really subscribe to that. I mean, people here know I attend the traditional Latin Mass, and I think it'd be great if we had, if we widened the celebration of traditional Latin Mass. I think that would be awesome. That ain't going to solve all the problems. That ain't going to bring all of a sudden an influx of tons of people back to the Catholic Church. I think it's a good start because what it would do is it would start to clean up the mess we have internally to then be able to do other things that would help attract people to the Catholic Church. But there's all these factors, and we have to think about all of them. And ultimately, I would put it down. I would say one thing, you know, the one way I would word it to say the church has failed to respond to an increasingly hostile culture. I'll say it again. The church has failed to respond to an increasingly hostile culture. Frankly, I think the church was caught with its pants down. I'm talking about in America again. For a couple hundred years, we had the anti-Catholicism 19th century, but really in the 20th century, what we saw was the Catholic Church was able to live out its faith and the culture wasn't going to really attack it radically. I mean, you'd see it in like movies like Song of Bernadette, where the Catholic priest is the hero. And that happened multiple times in Hollywood. So the culture was basically allowing the Catholic Church to live out its faith in the early mid 20th century. Well, then the culture turned and started to be increasingly hostile. It wasn't like it overnight. All of a sudden, one day it was like, hey, the Catholic Church is great. The next day it was like the Catholic Church is evil. No, this happened over time. But the Catholic Church kept on acting like all was well in the culture. All was well. And like basically they could continue doing what they're doing. And so they just kept on going along with the culture. They didn't stand up to it. They didn't say, wait a second, what you guys are doing is awful. We stand against that and we will have nothing to do with it. That's one of the attractions today of the traditional Latin Mass, by the way, is the fact that it's so countercultural. It doesn't look anything like the surrounding culture. When you enter into a church that's celebrating the traditional Latin Mass, it's an alien experience. A lot of people criticize it for that, but I would say that's one of its benefits. It's the fact that it's an alien experience. It's nothing like the surrounding culture because the surrounding culture is depraved. It's destructive. It's deadly. So you don't want to be anything like that. Whereas in a lot of parishes, they try to make the mass look like the surrounding culture, at least on some level. I mean, I just saw where somebody had a mass, and he did something for the Eagles in Philadelphia. The football team was playing in the playoffs, big important game. So they I don't know, sung the fight song for the Eagles. I don't know what they did, something like that. I mean, you don't go to mass to root for your local football team. You go there because hopefully it's not like this world, this destructive world. And so what the church failed to do, it failed to stand up to what's going on in the culture. It went along with it so many ways. It's like the permissive dad, permissive mother, I guess. I'll use dad as the analogy here. The permissive dad who wanted to be cool. He wants to make sure his kids think that he's cool and his kids' friends think he's cool. So he kind of dresses like his kids. He tries to talk like his kids. He lets his kids do what they want to do, because otherwise that'd be uncool. I mean, like every dad on television for the past 50 years has been like this. Well, what happens is the kid has no respect for his dad. The kid ends up falling into all the problems of the culture, and the dad has failed in his job. That's what the Catholic Church, frankly, in the United States has done over the past 50 years. We've tried to be that permissive dad who says, yeah, it's okay to be like this. It's okay. We're not going to really stand up to the culture radically. I mean, one example you can see of this is the teaching on contraception. The Catholic Church has been very good in America standing up against abortion, and we had lots of allies. I mean, the fact is that in our country, it's about a 50-50 split when it comes to pro-life, pro-abortion. I know I would say it's much more or against our current laws. Like, for example, it's probably about 70-80% would want some restrictions on abortion in this country. But the fact is, when you ask people, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice, it's going to be around 50-50 in most cases. And so when the Catholic Church stood up against abortion, as she should, it was like she was going along with one side of this. Contraception, however, if you ask, are you for or against artificial contraception, it's not going to be 50-50 in this country. It's going to be like 98-2, 99-1, maybe even worse. And the Catholic Church punted. The Catholic Church decided, okay, so many people are against this. I mean, I should say for artificial contraception, we're not going to stand up strong against it. We're just going to basically let our people use artificial contraception. We're never going to talk against it. That was a capitulation to the culture. And so what happens is, when this happens over and over again, we have a situation that we have now where people start to realize there's no reason to get up on Sunday morning and go to mass, because how is that fundamentally different than anything else I do? If I go turn on the local news station or cable news, or if I turn on MTV, or if I turn on whatever is the popular stations now, how's that any different? Or if I just scroll through my Twitter feed, what I hear at mass isn't going to be that much different than what I can just do by listening to some inspirational messages on Twitter or on Facebook. So why bother getting up, getting dressed, and going? Why go through all the rigmarole? And I don't really like some of the stuff the Catholic Church says anyway. So I'm just not going to go. So I really believe that's the fundamental error that the Catholic Church in America has made over the past 50 years, is we've capitulated to the culture. We have not recognized that our culture is increasingly hostile, increasingly evil, and we have to stand up against it. So let me kind of finish up here by talking about what we need to do. So obviously, I don't think there's very many bishops who are listening to this podcast. If a bishop is listening to this podcast, no, we're praying for you. God bless you. Please take some of this stuff seriously, that what we're talking about here, as well as priests. But what can we do? I would say the first thing we have to do is we have to pray and fast. Oh, Eric, you say that for everything. I know I do, because it's true every time. I always believe that what the first thing we have to do is pray and fast. Obviously, Lent is coming up. That's a perfect time to really increase our fasting game, really get it going. So pray and fast. The second thing we have to do is we have to really care about the salvation of souls. We have to reject the idea that we can have a hope that all men can be saved, which is just false, but it's commonly held by many members of the hierarchy, many members of the priesthood, and many members of the laity. We have to recognize that there's a very real danger of damnation for very many souls. If you leave the Catholic Church, you put your eternal jeopardy in serious danger. It's not hypothetical, it's real. If practicing Catholics don't really believe that, we're not going to really care that much about these declining numbers, because ultimately these people who leave, these five, I think it was like since, let me see the number. I think it's like almost 5 million. Yeah, almost 5 million Catholics have left the Catholic Church, are no longer weekly mass attending just in the past couple of years. Every one of those souls are putting their salvation in serious jeopardy, and we have to act like that. We have to do everything we can to urge them to return. I really think that attitude is very important, because otherwise we're just not going to care too much about whether or not these people come back or not. The third thing I think we have to do is we have to stop endorsing and just going along with the status quo. I talked about that at the top of the program. We have to recognize that most Catholic programs are trying to be like the world. They're doing things like, okay, let's try to make this program a lot like the way the world does things. Let's try to make this show a lot like the way the world does things. And I think ultimately that's a doomed to failure type of method. I just really don't believe. And I think, frankly, the numbers don't lie. That's what we've been doing. I mean, the new evangelization mostly has been like, how can we be like the culture as much as possible and put a Catholic veneer on it, and hopefully people won't want to leave. Well, they are leaving. And so we can't believe that that works. Again, it's a pet peeve of mine. I've noticed that a lot of times, like, Catholics can be very, like, professional Catholics, conservative Catholics, very smug about, yeah, we have these great things we're doing. And those more radical Catholics, they don't really know what they're doing. They're not really helping. But we have these great programs that work. How can you say that? I'm not saying it doesn't work ever. I mean, there are individual cases where it works, but when everybody's leaving, we have to rethink everything. And so what I would say is the assumption of most Catholic programs to try to help people in their faith, bring them to faith, is they want to zig when the culture is also zigging. I would say the Catholic Church should zag when the culture is zigging. So when the culture goes one way, we need to oppose it and go the other way. Not oppose it in the sense of, oh, it's all wrong, you guys are crazy, you guys are awful. I mean, there is a place for that. But what I mean is we zag, meaning we show an alternative. We give an alternative that is radically different than what the culture is giving us. Again, I'm just going to use an example. I don't care if I sound like a broken record. The traditional Latin Mass is a perfect example of that. When you walk into it, it's alien to the culture. Another thing alien to the culture is the assumption that many people very well might be going to hell. Clearly, that's alien to our relativistic culture. And so what we have to do is really have a higher differentiating factor between us and the culture. Another thing would be, for example, I see a lot of men's conferences. They just invite the same people, like, you know, the actor who plays Jesus in The Chosen. And that's an idea of, like, this is going to be somebody who's going to radically change their lives. You know what I think we should do? You need to have somebody who's living a radical life get up there and talk about exactly how they live differently from the culture, and they challenge the men to do things differently. For example, maybe there's a monk who spends his time in prayer and he fasts for 40 hours every week or something like that. Or people who go door to door and really try to encourage people to become Catholic. All these people who really do radical things that are different from the culture. Those are the type of people we should be encouraging Catholics to emulate. And actually, I would even say just the men's conference idea, I'm not even sold on. Again, we have to rethink everything. Instead of maybe a men's conference, why don't we do like a Eucharistic Congress that really is asking Catholic men to man up, to fast beforehand, maybe a day of penance where we tell men, okay, I want you to fast all day, and then we're going to walk around the downtown Eucharistic procession or something like that. We're going to pray the rosary. And this can be done on a parish level. It doesn't have to be some big diocesan or apostolate. It's just on the parish level. We do these very strong statements, these actions. I mean, I'm talking about men here. Obviously, for women, it's going to be a little bit different. But men don't just aren't really going to be called to action by just sitting at a conference in a comfortable seat and being told what to think and what to do. No, have them do things. Call them down to the abortion clinic to pray in front of it. Call them, like I said, the Eucharistic procession. Call them to fast, these things. So all these things are ways in which we can rethink how we do things. Finally, I just want to mention, yes, I did promote one of my books early in this podcast. I am going to promote a different one now. That's The Old Evangelization. If we want to talk about some methods, like how we actually evangelize, I wrote about this for Catholic Answers. It's about 5 years old, but obviously it's The Old Evangelization. It doesn't go out of style. So I'd encourage you, again, this is one you can buy at my website, ericsims.com, or at Catholic Answers, catholic.com. And so that has a lot of practical advice on methods we can use to try to bring people back into the fold. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. As you can probably tell, I get a little passionate about this issue. I think we all should. I think we should all be distressed by all the countless millions of souls that are leaving the Catholic Church. And we really need to rethink everything from the ground up on how we do things in the Catholic Church to try to slow that decline and try to bring people into the fullness of the Catholic faith. Okay, well, that's it for now, everybody. Until next time, God love you.